In national news, KMUD got an opportunity to speak with our representative for the North Coast, Congressman Jared Huffman, in this interview. Hello, and thank you for joining us once again, Congressman Huffman, especially given your busy schedule on Capitol Hill today. So let's dive right in. I want to begin by reminding our listeners that you are the founder of the Free Thought Caucus and have recently announced that you are spearheading a new task force with House Democrats to combat Project 2025. Can you explain what that is and who will be joining your task force?
Yeah, thanks. This is getting a lot of attention this week, and it should. So Project 2025, let's start there. This is a sort of a manifesto that's been put together by the Heritage Foundation and about 100 other leading right-wing groups. Many of its chapters and sections are written by people that had senior positions in Trump's presidency the first time around, and people that are rumored to be in line for very senior positions if he should win this next time. So it's a serious document in terms of the players behind it, and it's an alarming document in terms of its content. It is basically a roadmap for dismantling checks and balances on executive power, ending reproductive freedom and LGBTQ equality, doing all sorts of violence to church-state separation, gutting the federal civil service system, which they call the deep state, and replacing it with basically MAGA loyalists throughout our government, all levels of government. And I could go on, but it is sort of a collection in one place of all of the worst and most extreme right-wing ideas that the people around Donald Trump have been able to think up. And they're making it clear that this is their day one agenda. They are going to bring it forward at light speed if they get him into office. So I, upon being briefed about this, was sufficiently alarmed that I wanted to do a lot more work within the Democratic caucus to spotlight it and warn people about it. So I created this task force, and we now have a bunch of members from all the different parts of our caucus that, you know, should be concerned about this. The, you know, heads of the pro-choice caucus, the equality caucus, the labor caucus. Obviously, I'm there for the Free Thought caucus because we are very concerned about church-state separation. But we've also got the Hispanic caucus, Black caucus, and I've got colleagues coming out of the woodwork wanting to be part of this task force because they're worried about it, and voters out there and their supporters are hearing about it and wanting to know, you know, why isn't Congress doing more on this?
As you mentioned, this is getting a lot of attention. You were featured in AP and even interviewed earlier today on C-SPAN. You mentioned that the primary focus of the task force is tracking the dangerous rhetoric and deciphering the 1,000-page manifesto by the Heritage Foundation. So what will the Stop Project 2024 task force be doing over the next few months leading up to this election? And does it make you a target of MAGA extremists?
Well, I'm already a target of MAGA extremists. I've been part of the resistance for quite some time. I don't mind that. But what we're going to do, we're going to have our first organizing meeting tomorrow morning, and we will kind of divide up the different subject matter briefings that we want, kind of looking at the different parts of Project 2025, and decide which members of the task force will lead on different briefings. There'll probably be about 5 or 6 of them, and so you're going to see, like, you know, the attacks on democracy, you're going to see reproductive freedom, LGBTQ equality, church state said, you know, these are all separate headings for different briefings that we'll get over the course of maybe the next 4 to 6 weeks. And then by September, we intend to be ready for a public-facing hearing that will feature all of the highlights from these different substantive briefings, and we will do our best to explain to people why this action plan for a second Trump presidency needs to be taken very seriously and why anyone who cares about our democracy should be very, very alarmed by it.
recently leaked audio from an exchange with Supreme Court Justice Alito and his wife suggested that they believe Pride Month should be rebranded as Shame Month and that our country needs to, quote, return to a state of godliness. Does this underscore the threats posed by Project 2025? And could a scenario similar to The Handmaid's Tale become a reality with another Trump presidency?
I think you've got it exactly right with that question, Lauren. We are much further down the road to an extreme dystopic, you know, Margaret Atwood theocracy than most Americans realize. And the fact that you've got a sitting Supreme Court justice casually saying these things and his wife saying these things, you know, flying this appeal to heaven flag, and it's disturbing. But, you know, this didn't just happen. The folks at the, you know, not just the Heritage Foundation, but a bunch of these other dark money groups have been laying the foundation for this for years. They put Sam Alito on the court, and they put a bunch of other people just like him, not just on this Supreme Court, but throughout the judiciary system and in the Congress. This most extreme element of Christian nationalism, folks who believe in the Seven Mountains Dominion theology, where you're supposed to get rid of democracy, have a theocracy, and have Christians in charge of all aspects of society, they boast that they've got 100 members of Congress that believe in this ideology. And I look around me here, and I think they're right. I take this very seriously.
I want to pivot to the Israeli Prime Minister, who will be addressing the joint session of Congress in July. Will you be joining those who are boycotting the speech?
Yeah, I hate it. I think it's just such crass politics by not just Speaker Johnson to kind of force this on us, but Netanyahu. I guess I'm not surprised. It's not the first time Netanyahu has come to Congress to meddle in U.S. politics. I think it's a slap in the face to Joe Biden and a further ingratiating of Netanyahu to the Republican Party. There was a time when the U.S.-Israel relationship was bipartisan, and when Israeli leaders, no matter what their politics, they tried to keep it bipartisan and not become partisan tools here in the United States. Netanyahu, though, is the worst, and he has done that, so no way am I going to sit and listen to him. I was happy to sit and listen to the Israeli president, which, you know, is a less significant figure in the current government. He has, you know, mostly a ceremonial role under their system, but Herzog is his name, and it was fine to listen to him, and I actually thought after the October 7th attack it was appropriate to hear from him. Netanyahu is a different story. So no, I will not be sitting pleasantly in my seat. I boycotted the Netanyahu speech when he came to try to undermine President Obama back when Obama negotiated the joint comprehensive plan of action for Iran's nuclear program, which was a good agreement. And I will definitely not be listening to him this time.
Last time we spoke, President Biden was optimistic about his proposed phased ceasefire deal. However, that sentiment has since changed. Where did this fall apart, and how can our country exert more pressure to achieve peace?
It's an important question. I just met with a couple of top folks from the State Department on this today, and I'm not sure it has totally fallen apart. You know, what we see and read about in the public side of this is a little different than what's been going on at the diplomatic level. My understanding is that Israel has absolutely signed off on this peace deal, and that sign-off includes enough members of the War Cabinet and the Knesset and Netanyahu himself so that there would be a yes from the Israeli side. And the deal that's on the table is largely reflective of a deal that Hamas has previously said yes to. So the problem is Hamas most recently has sort of moved the goalpost, and we're not sure if they are going to get to yes. And, you know, Sinwar, who is this brutal terrorist that is leading the military operation for Hamas, has sort of revealed in emails and communications with various people that he thinks they're winning. He thinks that these brutal casualties with civilians are helping his cause, and he may not want it to end. So it's a pretty terrible place to be. We need this ceasefire. We need to end this war. But it's a difficult spot when you're relying on someone like Sinwar and Hamas to say yes to the deal that ends it.
We are almost out of time, but in your final thoughts, I was hoping you could share more on the announcement out of Mendocino County last week.
Yes, it is over $2 million, and it is good news, and it will help with the two-basin solution that's going to restore fish passage and environmental values on the Eel River. So, yeah, we've got an important federal investment in the two-basin solution. It's good news, and there's more to come on that.
Again, that was our representative for the North Coast, Congressman Jared Huffman. If you have a question you would like asked, you can email it to news@kmud.org.